And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Gilbert Ford Power Hour. I'm your host, Zachary Gilbert, my co-host, Dan Ford. How you doing, Dan?
Doing great, sir.
Yeah.
Could be better.
Yeah, I could be a lot better, Dan. You know, I may be a Falcons fan. I don't know if you heard about that. And
Jeff Foxworthy joke? You may be a Falcons fan.
If you're really been sad and depressed all week. But that kind of gets into our general discussion, the theme for this episode, if you will, Dan. Fanhood. We have Brad R. Raines back to talk about his kind of weird fanhood. You can get into it later, but like, you know, grew up kind of in a weird place where he didn't have any teams, so he's got like this weird mismatch of teams he likes.
Sure. And a part of the discussion we had was like, that you don't necessarily have to be locked into fanhoods, which might be important for some people. I'm not going to name any names.
Yeah,
but you know.
There might be a slight discussion of that on the roundup. But Dan, I want to start with you and your fanhood. Mine's pretty simple. I like Atlanta sports. I don't like UGA, but I like Auburn. That's kind of it. You know, like, there's certain players I do like to watch. Like, obviously, you know, watching Steph Curry or Kevin Durant is super fun. But for the most part, my teams are the Atlanta teams plus Auburn football. But you're a little bit different, Dan.
Yeah, we talk about it a little bit on the Brad show, so I don't want to go too far into it here. But the big thing with me is that my team was the Charlotte Hornets, and they moved when I was, 12 years old, 10 years old. And that, I feel like, had a profound impact on the rest of my life, because it was like, oh, the teams that you care for don't necessarily care about you. So you don't really have to be locked in on anybody. So since then, I sort of like go whenever there's a team that captures my imagination. I cheer for them and root for them and hope they do well. And when they stop capturing my imagination, I move on. Which sounds like bandwagoning.
Kinda, you know, you and Wes are in similar boats. You got your team back, but kind of. Later on the roundup, me and Wes kind of talk about his Supersonics leaving. So kind of a similar boat, right?
He was older than me, though. This was more formative for me, I think. Because I was still a little boy. The little boy dreamed of being a big boy.
There's a lot more Sonics history, obviously, than Charlotte Hornets history.
I mean, we did lead the league in attendance for like 15 years. Yeah, so
you didn't do anything anybody. You had the guy, you dressed up in drag?
Alonzo Mourning.
Grandma.
You ever heard him? You ever heard of Alonzo Mourning?
No.
You ever heard of Muggsy Bogues?
The guy from Curb Your Enthusiasm with the big dick? Yeah. You mean the former Toronto Raptor, Muggsy Bogues?
Okay, that's not fair. He's way more of a Hornet than he is anything else.
but...
David Wesley? Hornets,
you didn't have like a story, like there was no NBA championship, and you were around for, what was it, less than 20 years, I think, before you moved? A little bit different than Sonics.
Yeah, it was like 86, well... Is 86, I think, to 2001?
Yeah. So, but yeah.
But we went gaga. We went gaga. Like, everything was teal. Like, you could not buy a house without teal being the carpet. Like, everything was teal and purple. Like, everything in North Carolina suddenly became teal. And then.
But I want to bring this, because you obviously were alive before the Panthers came to be. So your football fandom always leaned more towards the Cowboys, right? Kind of a bandwagon?
Right, yeah. Yeah, because I got into football before the Panthers existed.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys were around, and they were my team, Bubba. But when the Panthers showed up, it was just like too late. I've already picked a team.
Well, even in Atlanta, like before the Falcons came along, Cowboys were the team you picked in the Southeast, especially because they were the only team.
Yeah.
You know, the 70s till the Falcons came about, I think, or Tampa
Well, the Falcons
Bay
came about in like 68.
Yeah.
The Falcons were so terrible. A lot of people just went, I think I'll cheer for the Cowboys.
Most people like me, we just embrace the misery and hate our lives because nothing ever good happens to us.
Not healthy. See, not healthy.
But what kind of happens though, Dan? I want to kind of know, like, you were in the Carolina area when the Panthers came in. What was the shift there? Were there people who were Cowboys fans or, you know, maybe Redskins or pretty close?
The majority were Redskins fans.
Okay.
This was a Redskins.
Did they shift over to the Panthers, or did it take like a couple of years for like kids to kind of get into the Panthers? That's when the fan base kind of.
It was mostly the kids first, and then you saw post-Dan Snyder. I would say Dan Snyder and then that team that had the unlikely run to the Super Bowl, the Stephen Davis, Jake DeLome team. Yeah. And then Jake DeLome played that Super Bowl game where maybe played the greatest game anybody's ever played and out-dueled Brady, but came up short in the game because of a John Casey kicked the ball out of the end. You know, Jake DeLome played a better, like, out-dueled Tom Brady, was better than him, period. Won the game, had it all won, and then John Casey kicked the ensuing kickoff after the game, what would have been the game-winning score, kicked the ball out of the out of bounds on the kickoff, gave the Patriots the ball, you know, way down on the field, and they were able to get down the field enough to score a field goal and win it and steal the thing from Jake DeLome.
So is that when you really saw, like, maybe a rise in Panthers fandom, though? Did it take going to the Super Bowl, or
that was the big change? Gathering?
Because there was early success for the Panthers, remember correctly. Like, they were one
of the quickest teams to have success, but their issue was that the Cowboys were still good and the Panthers were still good, and those were the two teams in North Carolina.
Yeah.
But when they went to the Super Bowl, like that was after Dan Snyder and Jerry Jones had both spent years ruining their teams. So there was enough miserable Cowboys and Redskins fans to go, you know what? Fuck it. Switching.
There were some famous hiccups with the Panthers, though, at the beginning. Like, it was Kerry Collins, I believe, had some DUI arrests. You had Ray Carruth, who murdered his wife.
The early Panthers were built around this idea of, like, look, let's just load up on veterans, because those are the only good players we'll be able to get in the expansion. Like, nobody's going to let us have good players who are young and talented. We're not going to be able to get them. So let's just load up on everybody's old dudes. And they also had the advantage of the salary cap came in at the exact point the Panthers came into existence. So you had all of these teams upside down in the salary cap who had to shed money. And they took advantage of that. And like they ended up with like Kevin Green and, you know, Lamar Mills and you know, a ton of like really good players who were older but who could still play. So they had like one or two good years until all those guys were like, I'm really old. I'm really, really old. I think it's time for me to retire. And then they suddenly became shit. So they debuted. They had like a really good 3 years. Kerry Collins fell into alcoholism. Demons. And then their team collapsed from age.
Yeah.
Steve Berline was not able to get the job done.
So, but Dan, would you say today, though, that the Panthers are the number one professional team in the Carolinas?
No. So I'm still saying the Cowboys have more fans in the state of North Carolina. And I would say it's probably close with the Steelers, too.
But do you think, like, even having, like, stars like Luke Kuechly and Cam Newton, has that kind of helped, though? Like,
Kuechly helped, but Cam Newton isn't all that popular in the state. I mean, he's popular in Charlotte. Yeah. Cam Newton's really popular in Charlotte.
He's popular with a certain type of person. The certain skin pigmentation.
Well, right? I'm not saying that, but he's very popular in Charlotte. We'll put it that way. People in Charlotte, wink, wink, really love Cam Newton. And then you get outside of Charlotte, wink, wink, and they don't necessarily like him as much.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
And, you know.
Who could say?
And Cam, who could say? Even though I do love Cam Newton dearly, he is a pretty weird guy. Like,
he is really moody.
Exclusive, Power Hour exclusive. Cam Newton, like, allegedly in high school, stories I've heard from people who went to school with him, would, like, dress up in costumes and, like, prance around the hallways. He's a weird guy. You know, he's weird. That's okay. We need more weird guys in football, but
he wasn't exactly inspiring post-Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
Like, it was not exactly the same as, like, Peyton Manning going, well, we'll get him again next time. Like, It was a lot more mopey. It was more, well, God, it was a lot more Donovan McNabb-y, but then I realized saying that, what that implies.
But I kind of understand what you're saying, though. He can rub you the wrong way, but he is a very exciting player. So, like, I would think that he would kind of help the Panthers, like, at least get some, maybe more attention in the state. Because he's fun to watch. Can't doubt that.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't want to say anymore. I feel like somebody's going to yell at me. Somebody's gonna yell at me if I keep this up.
Well, I think before we get yelled at, Dan, let's jump over to the roundup. This is the final appearance for West Coast West of the NFL football season. don't worry. If you love Wes, he'll probably be back for the draft. And maybe for a little March Madness preview. But let's jump into him and me. We're going to discuss Super Bowl. And be honest, this was recorded like less than 48 hours after Super Bowl. Probably wasn't in the best mood still. So let's jump to that.
And welcome to the NFL Roundup. I'm your host, Zachary Gilbert. It's my co-host, Wes. West Coast Wes. Or whatever.
Thank you for having me, Zach. I want to ask you how you are doing right now.
I've been in my bathrobe for, it's been 3 weeks, right? I think, since the game. And just going to kind of just eat and watch Netflix until I die. I think that's the plan. That's the general feeling. But I think the best way to describe what happened to me on Sunday was something I'd been expecting to happen for 2 weeks, and it finally happened. It was the best way for me to describe it was, have you ever been like in a bad relationship, Wes? Like one that you knew was about to end?
I sure have.
Yeah, and you know it's about to end, but like maybe a couple of things keep happening. You have a good weekend, good vacation, keep going.
Writing's on the wall.
And then one day she just comes and breaks up with you. But this was like if she came and broke up with you 5 minutes before the wedding. Yeah, this may have killed a lot of my enthusiasm for professional football, this game. I just don't know if I can recover.
I have to give you credit because you were preparing for this all along, or as much as one can prepare for a loss like this. You never wavered, even as much as I tried to convince you and I tried to be optimistic. And that was all genuine and sincere, by the way. I really didn't believe what I said. But you, I couldn't switch you over. I couldn't get you on the side of we're going to win.
Well, Wes, a lot of people would have taken this harder. But I grew up watching the Atlanta Braves blow it in several World Series, several times in the playoffs. I was born in this darkness. Much like Bane from The Dark Knight Rises, I was born in this. This isn't when Boston sucks in 10 years and they haven't won a title in 10 years and their fans are like, oh, we're doomed, we're cursed. No. You merely adapted the darkness. I was born into this.
I believe that. I believe it all because, as you know, we come from similar backgrounds in terms of our sports cities. A lot of heartache, more losses than wins. A lot of coming up short, but I do have to ask you, as prepared as you were, even in that moment, just in a vacuum, when it actually happened, how did it feel? Did you drop to the floor? Or by that time, were you already resigned to things?
When they were driving in overtime, and I was like, well, maybe I'm wrong, but I kind of felt like when Matt Ryan fumbled, that's when I was like, okay, because he had to play perfect this whole postseason for us to win. And he made that one mistake. And then even with the Julio catch and then not getting the field goal, I just kind of expected a lot of this to happen, I guess. I think I went outside as the Pats scored the touchdown. I think I was, I don't want to watch this. I don't care. I just want it to be over. All week, Wes, people ask me, are you excited for Sunday? And I said, no, I'm excited for Monday. Because I just want to get this over with.
Yeah.
I compare it to like maybe having a family member in surgery, and you just want to know what happens at the end. You're just sitting there waiting, and if they make it, that's awesome, but you think they're going to die. And on the third surgery, my Atlanta Falcons did die at the operating table with 5 minutes left.
It looked like the operation was going to be successful. The first half was everything that I expected, and then it was. I'm not going to say perfect, but I thought they played a reasonably expected game, in the sense that it wasn't like New England couldn't move the ball. They did move the ball, but the Falcons, to their credit, it was a bend don't break type of defense that I saw from them, and they made the stops when they needed to.
Yeah, and they created points and turnovers, and they stripped the ball, and they made stuff happen. But she just kind of figured out Belichick's plan was just to wear down that defense because they're going to run and fly to everything. And that's what they did. I think the Patriots ran like 30 more plays than the Falcons. That second half offensively was the very definition of like what I like to call Mike Smith football, taking your foot off the pedal, not going with what's working at the very least. You saw Freeman was clearly the best running back on the team that day. And you leave him out for three series in a row to give Coleman some snaps. Why? If Freeman's working, Freeman's working. I don't understand that kind of thinking. And Kyle Shanahan, to his credit, knows he blew it. And that's, you know, it's just bad offensive play calling. That's what it came down to. Like, yeah, not running the ball with your running back who's been tearing up this defense against a pretty, not the best defensive line in the world, mind you. One that I believe Seattle pushed around, even with all their woes. And, yeah, 4 minutes left, you don't run the ball.
Yeah, it was tough.
You got bottled up once.
I sat there wondering what was going on, like everybody else, just situationally speaking. And I know that there is some merit to using all of your weapons and being confident in your play calling, but at some point you have to take a look at the situation. What's left on the clock? How many timeouts does the opposition have? What makes the most sense? And believe me, you're talking to a guy who's been the victim of a team that decides to not do the obvious thing in the most important point of a goddamn Super Bowl. So I do understand, but Jesus Christ. I mean, for me, it was when Ryan took that sack, and to be fair, there wasn't a lot he could do in that situation. Yeah.
I praise Freeman did miss the block there. You can almost watch it on the replay. He realized he missed the block, turned around, and it was too late. Alligator got the baby.
Right.
The gorilla was dead. This was a great capper to 2016. I had one of my conservative friends send me a text, and he goes, "This must be what you felt like on election night." And I was like, "Yeah, but at least then I got to kind of laugh at Hillary Clinton, like being just a sore loser." With this, there was no laughing. It was just, like, I left my best friend's Super Bowl party probably 2 minutes after the game ended. And
spirit, I hit power on the television almost immediately as that thing. Like, when New England scored, I turned it off. Of course, then again, I had to turn it back on because I wanted to see the Goodell treatment and all. But really, that was just I'm with you. I think this had to have been worse than election night because you drew some positives from election night. You got a few laughs, as you said, but this, there's nothing good to take of it. And you mentioned something earlier. I'm a little bit concerned, but I also understand in a way. Is this truly the end of your NFL fandom? I mean, I know we're in the moment right now, but I understand. It's tough to take this over.
Yeah. And over it's again. A tough loss to take. I mean, you know, draft's going to come around. I always love the draft. And we'll see what happens from there. But I just feel I kind of get it now. Like, when you hear, especially older Atlanta fans, like, I look at, like, you know, he's a controversial guy, but Bahami Jones grew up a Falcons fan, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't really root for the team anymore. I get it now. Because this just sucks. There's no other way. And it's just, what happens to this franchise? We blew the biggest lead in Super Bowl history and lost the first overtime ever.
Yeah. It is.
At what point do you just say, well, this relationship just ain't working? Maybe I'm not going to go date anybody else, but I can just stop dating completely.
At what point do you make the move from investing your emotions in sports in general and try and make the switch over into, well, I'm going to enjoy the competition no matter what. I'm not going to put my trust in my quote unquote teams.
I'm just going to use this to further my gambling addiction. Is something you think at some point. But like, this isn't a situation, like, even with some of the Braves collapses and like my Hawks never doing so hot in the playoffs, at least that's a 7-game series and like, well, you kind of earn it.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, this is just one game. And that's what kind of sucks the most about football, I think, is there's too many what ifs, you know? Because I look back, you know, when the Hawks had that great season and they got swept by the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, the Cavs were clearly the better team. Not sure New England was necessarily the better team on that day. I think Atlanta just beat itself once again.
That is the problem with football. It's we already talked about this last week, how the Super Bowl is this delayed affair. And so by the time you actually get there, everything seems foreign and it takes a solid quarter for teams to really get rolling. And on top of that, as you're saying, it's one game. It can go either way, obviously, and it doesn't say much. I too agree that the better of the two teams, if you played this game 10 times on a neutral field, I would expect Atlanta to win more times. Yeah. And so it's tough to
say. At the same time, that reality is you play once.
That is true.
And it just makes it very hard. And, you know, we talk, you know, this episode, we're kind of focusing on fandom. Because I knew before, after the Super Bowl, it's going to be an interesting discussion for me as a Falcons fan. And, of course, it's the one I was dreading. But, yeah. I feel like a guy trying to talk to his buddy after his wife left him right now. That's how I feel.
I know where you're at. I can tell you from experience that after when Seattle lost the Super Bowl in the way that they did, and granted, they'd won the year before, so yes, that it is a different situation. But I will tell you, in my honest opinion, the sting of that loss, the way it went down, had more immediate impact on me than actually winning the Super Bowl. Like, I didn't even believe, I still don't even believe they won the Super Bowl. But that loss, I mean, I was physically ill. I remember not sleeping much at all just because, and it wasn't like I was sitting there trying, you know, dreading the next day or the future or whatever. I'd just gotten so worked up in the process that I actually couldn't calm down, and so I didn't sleep very much.
Well, I remember on Monday just starting to unfollow people on Twitter because it was just, and it wasn't out of spite or I was mad. It was just, I didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm guessing you stayed away from sports radio or television.
Yeah. Did my best. I think I went to work today and like ESPN was on, and it was probably the first time I saw ESPN since before the Super Bowl. Which is really a shame, Wes, because you know what? I was really looking forward to the six. After Atlanta won. Because that was going to be like this culmination of just like, you know, I'm not even a black guy, but it was going to be like this awesomeness of blackness and Black History Month. And, you know, the blackest city in America just beat the most racist city in America. And we got none of that.
Yeah.
You know, the bad guys, and that's the truth, kids. If you're listening, the bad guys win. Don't even try. Just go live in a hut and don't worry about it. The bad guys always win.
That's the lesson. That's the lesson. If it's an important thing in life to be true to yourself, to embrace the things that you enjoy, not try and be anybody else, and not trying to compete with the bad guy, with the big man at top, because you'll always lose. That's what I always take away from these situations. You'll always lose, and it's not for lack of effort. It's not for lack of skill. Just something will happen along the way. You have no control over it, but big dollars and big names, they always win every single time.
Yeah, the Illuminati. Lady Gaga with their satanic sacrifice rituals, the halftime show.
Yeah, man. A side note, I know it's probably not that important to you, but what did you think of the Lady Gaga performance?
You know what? I'm not a lady. I think, you know, we made fun of her. I did. I think Dan's a bigger fan than me. I thought it was a fine halftime show, though. I mean, I don't think it was as good as, say, like Prince or even like Bruno Mars that year.
Mm-hmm.
At Seattle beat Denver. I thought that was a pretty fun, halftime show. It wasn't really my cup of tea, but it wasn't bad. I've seen worse, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's about it.
Like, what did they do after the Janet Jackson one? Didn't they roll out, like, Up With People or something?
Yeah, they had a few years of trying to get back in the good graces.
I think it was just church choirs and Creed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so just trying to be as safe as humanly possible. But I'm with you. I didn't... That halftime show was just kind of on. It seemed like it was well executed. She's talented and all that, but I think that's the perfect way to describe it.
The whole experience to me was just a blur. Like even the commercials, I don't remember any commercial because I was so nervous about the game. And it's just, take your losses. It's just it's the ATL. L capitalized.
Speaking of the ATL, we're kind of getting a look into your worldview and your psyche right now, but what's the general tenor of the city and the people you know? Is everybody down? Is everybody walking the streets, head hung low, as they
Monday, it was I don't think anywhere else in Georgia had this, but at least we're in Atlanta where I live. Very drizzly, miserable day. I've never been alive when a president was assassinated or someone of that, you know, importance and culture. Felt like that.
Yeah.
Just... Not even, like, I think I saw one lady in a Falcons cap dressed in all black. And that's probably how we feel. Like, we still love our Falcons, but this sucks.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't expect much else. I mean, the fans are very passionate in the area. And so it's going to take an effect. As we always say, there are much bigger things than life. But you do dedicate a certain part of your soul to sports. and genuinely get invested. And so when something like this happens, it's tough to take. You will rise up. Again, as they say, that's
it might be time to get rid of Rise Up, though.
I think it probably is.
And I kind of want to talk about the Falcons moving forward. They added Sarkisian today. I thought that was kind of a dumb move. I would kind of copy what the Warriors did after they blew the finals, where they didn't reinvent the wheel, but they kind of changed things up by bringing in Durant.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what Atlanta needs to do, whether it's a free agent or another coach or something. They need a slight change of new energy in there to kind of, you know, like a new fan to blow out all the negative energy and kind of bring in a, you know, just someone who wasn't there when they blew it and doesn't have that sink on them.
Yeah, well, it's not like anything's broken. I mean, I don't see any major holes with the team or anything like that. And
yeah, it's going to be the psyche, and I mean that from a mental standpoint. Like, you know, like we look at some of their free agents, you know, I look at a guy like maybe Eric Berry.
Right.
You know, playmaker, good safety, and it's going to change things up. You know, if you bring him in there, you need some guys with different attitude, even if it's just Trufant coming back.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you'd know better than I would, but as far as the contract situation of your current players, I mean, I don't think too many guys are up this year for the Falcons.
No.
It's not like you have to go re-sign a bunch of big names who will get that post-Super Bowl attention that even the losing team gets. So I think you're in a good place, but you're right. It's all about, and I think this is what did Carolina in combination with some of the personalities they had in contract situations. But I think it's how you can, like right now, you're thinking to yourself, God damn it, we played like this all season long. We got where we wanted to be. We could have beat that team. We lost. It's okay. There's another season to come. But now we have to wait 6 months before we can even get this thing going. Then we have to play a full season again and hope nothing goes wrong. So you almost can't think about it. Because it'll overwhelm you, right?
Well, I think you kind of have to look at it like it's a new season, too. And you've got to change. Even if you win the Super Bowl, you had to go do some things to go and try to repeat. So I think just little tweaks, you know, it doesn't have to be something like the equivalent of bringing in Kevin Durant, obviously. But I think you got to make that move when your team blows a championship like that. I think you got to shake things up sometimes because that stink just kind of stays around. And I think maybe even just losing Shanahan might help, you know?
Yeah, that's certainly a... It's
speaking of stink, you know, the stench of bourbon flowing through the halls of Flowery Branch.
Hey, man, I know you mentioned that you're not exactly into the Sarkisian hire, but I do think he has something to offer in the position that he's in right now. Like, if you'd have brought him in as a head coach or something like that, then I'd be pretty negative on it, but... It might actually work out. Steve has a good offensive mind, and we'll see how that translates. Obviously, yeah.
I was kind of interested in the Chip Kelly thing and maybe just doing the offense a little bit differently. Just something like that I thought would help. But we'll see. But I think it's just another dumb move by my favorite dumb NFL franchise.
It was a surprising one. I mean, I wouldn't have thought that he would have been up for an NFL job, period, yet.
Yeah.
But I guess you got to make these moves quickly, and at least they committed to something, but... You're right. I don't know what to think, and we don't know what Sarkisian is going to bring to the table at the pro level as well.
And I'm not 100% sold that part of this was just to let Matt Ryan be able to just call the offense more.
And would that be a bad thing?
No, I think me and a lot of other Falcons fans have kind of campaigned for just kind of letting what Matt kind of do what Peyton did. Maybe a poor man's Peyton in that way, but just I think he's got a good mind, you know?
Yeah.
So... I don't think letting him, you know, I think no huddle, that's when I saw the most success from him as a younger player, it felt like, until this year.
Well, that speaks to his cerebral nature. I think if I was going to pick from quarterbacks as far as who I'd trust in the role that you're suggesting, he'd be near the top of the list. And
he's been around long enough where he's going to know things. So I think part of this may low-key be Matt Ryan's going to have a lot more responsibility than you think.
And he can handle it. So if you think about it that way, offensively you're not lacking at all. You know, great offensive team.
Well, defense is just going to get better.
Exactly. You just need a little more depth if you want to play that style. So when fatigue does set in, you've got a couple more horses to roll in and support things. And maybe you learn a little bit too about pacing in certain situations. It doesn't help that you play New England, who is. You know, they've had experience against similar teams in the biggest spotlight over the years.
They've been in a few Super Bowls.
Yeah, they've been to a couple, beat some solid defensive teams with the similar blueprint that the Falcons have on that side of the ball. But I'm pretty optimistic about him. Again, I know you don't want
to
hear this.
I want to see how this stitch goes, but for right now, I just kind of feel like backing away.
Yeah.
From the Falcons.
Take a step back.
I kind of want to go on a break. You know, I don't want to see other teams, but maybe just, you know, I might flirt with the team on Monday night, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like maybe me and the Browns go on a date. It's nothing serious, Falcons. Don't worry. I mean, we might hook up, but it doesn't mean anything.
There's no commitment there.
Yeah.
It's just, you just need some time in your own personal.
And not, no, obviously not really the Browns. That's like, yeah. That's yeah. Like leaving your six, you know, your wife who's like maybe a seven for like a chick who's like two and addicted to meth. That's horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're better. You're better than that. You got more to offer. And yeah.
But you know, maybe you do flirt with Pittsburgh for a second, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's where kind of my fandom with the Falcons is right now.
Here's a bigger picture question for you. Does it affect you when it comes to all sports right now? Like, are you so goddamn sick of this right now that you take a look around at the NBA or even Major League Baseball as it approaches and you kind of lose enthusiasm there? Or am I completely off base there? You're more than happy.
I've actually gotten a little bit more into the NBA. I think that Wizards-Cavs game really helped me get through the struggle. Even though the Hawks got blown out Monday, that was the Jazz just... You know, way better.
Yeah.
Just the fun, you know, like when I think, you know, Wizards Cavs, that could be a really fun series in the playoffs, and then like get excited, and then like, you know, always get excited for baseball until it starts, and I remember how boring it is. So, you know, it'll be fun. And, you know, I don't think the Braves will be that bad either. So,
this is all positive. This is what I like to hear, because there are a lot of people just say, oh, the hell with it. I'm going to turn strictly to the visual arts, and get into painting and things of that nature, you know, start reading more.
Painting for me is just watching another sport. But I've always said Falcons were probably third on my Atlanta or my favorite sports teams, you know, where that's probably Atlanta Hawks, Auburn football, Atlanta Falcons third. So,
yeah.
And my Hawks have disappointed me more than anyone else. So,
and you keep coming back, and that's a sign of true love. I mean, we all take abuse from time to time, intended or not, and everybody's got their flaws. And it's all about what's at the core of the relationship. Clearly, you are a man dedicated to the Hawks.
Yes. And that's, you know, and Auburn football, obviously. Because, you know what? Auburn won a title.
Sure as hell did.
You know? That's why, like, you know, maybe that's why I flirt with Carolina a little, because I do like Cam. Even though everyone hates him, I kind of like him now even more.
Cam's all right.
Yeah.
You could do far worse than Cam. Nice commercial for Cam this Super Bowl as well. Yeah. He had one of the better ones.
That was fun, yeah. So I do want to kind of shift though, you know, I'll bring up Cam Newton. Let's before we kind of get out of here. How do you feel about this kind of new edgy LeBron James? You know, last week we talked about the deal with Barkley. He calls a sports writer who's been doing the same Kevin Love rumor for 3 years now. He called him trash. I kind of like edgy LeBron. I think he feels comfortable enough just to say fuck off. You know, probably, and I think Jordan may have acted in a similar way if he was in this kind of media climate.
Oh, I have no doubt about it. I think LeBron faces a ton of scrutiny, some deserved, a lot not deserved, undeserved. But yeah, maybe he's comfortable. Finally, now is the time for him to speak his mind. You know, I think at the core, LeBron James seems like a decent enough guy. But, you know, he's going to object to certain things, and I think the time for biting your tongue is over with, especially in this climate that we live in, like you said. It's about time, and a vengeful, angry LeBron, I think that's the best type of – that's going to produce the best product on the court as well, as far as I'm concerned.
And, you know, you have a LeBron getting more political, you know, especially as the NBA as a whole gets more political. It's nice to see LeBron just not just kind of sit there and take his paycheck, but, you know, or expresses his support for, you know, presidential candidate or stands up for social justice or things like that. I just like LeBron. Like, I know I'm supposed to hate him, but it kind of feels like the only people who hate LeBron now are, like, old white guys and Skip Bayless.
Yeah, yeah. Just haters, you know, for lack of a better term. And truly, because, you know, I've been in that camp, and when I take a look in the mirror and I ask myself, why have I not liked LeBron? I can't come up with great reasons. I can give you reasons, but they're not great at all. And
and I could come up with a bunch before he kind of went back to Cleveland and won the championship last year. I think he officially won me over with the block.
Oh.
Because that's probably the first time in my life I, like, got up out of my chair and clapped for a LeBron James play.
Yeah, I
remember. Like, not like an applaud, just like a hot damn, like, reaction.
Yeah, and, I was just about to say, I don't remember what I yelled, but I yelled something when that happened. That definitely...
I think that's the first time I ever just had emotion about, like, I've always been kind of neutral in LeBron, like, whatever, but I think it's the first time I felt like this positive, like, yeah, look at this badass, you know?
Yeah.
Jumping up 10 feet in the air and blocking balls.
Well, I consider that to be the greatest block in the history of the NBA, and, and it kind of... For me, LeBron, I think
Lot
to him.
Nate Robinson, didn't he once block a Yao Ming shot?
Yes, he did. I figured that's in a league of its own, and then we consider all other blocks.
That's what you show, like, aliens when they come to Earth. They're just like, well, we can't fuck with them, you know?
Exactly. Look at this 5'7" guy elevate 40 inches into the air and block this mammoth Asian basketball players attempted scoring.
But I bring up LeBron and all that, and our thing's kind of about fandom this week, so we close out, Wes. I just talk about your fandom. I went through loss, but no loss like you went through when your beloved Supersonics left. what kind of goes through that mindset of a fan when your team leads? Like, I think we're far away enough, you know, I think we can take off the Band-Aid now. Hopefully it was taken off a while ago. It's been a couple of years, but...
Yeah.
What are your stages as a fan whose team packs up and leaves? Is it just kind of like you kind of see the world for what it is, or kind of moment?
It was eye-opening. That's what I would say. I remember when it was going down, it looked to be inevitable as they drew closer to their deadlines. And still, you didn't expect it to actually happen until it did. And then I remember... laying on the floor of the apartment I was living in at the time. I was just laying on the floor, staring at the sky. I was listening to local sports radio as we all kind of suffered together with the reality of the situation. I went down to the team store because they were selling off all the gear wholesale. And by the time I got there, all they had left was a bunch of Seattle Storm gear, the WNBA team, and Luke Ridnour jerseys. That's all they had.
So
I didn't even buy
it. Perfect. So you bought them out.
Well, I couldn't get in line fast enough, and so unfortunately, I couldn't get the Ridnour jersey.
Yes.
But you know, I mean, yeah, the scar is still there, and I definitely, as I've said all along, the NBA is a different thing to me now because I have rooting interests. There are players and teams that I like, but you know, when your heart's not in it, it's just not the same. And so every year, I have to, you just watch it with a different set of eyes. And like you said, it shows you what the world's all about. Money makes the world go around. It's all about who can get the best dollar at the best time. That's what happened.
And it doesn't matter who you are as a franchise. It could, like, literally, the Cleveland Browns left. I think Cleveland knows it better than anyone. They had one of the most historic franchises ever, and they left town.
Exactly. Seattle won an NBA championship. Seattle was historically a great franchise. Granted, they were down in those last few years, but that happens.
Who the Lakers were down. You know, everyone's down at some point.
Yes. Yeah. So that just goes to show, though, it's you have to not take anything for granted when it comes to your teams, because as sure of a thing as they seem, you too might end up in the middle of Oklahoma somehow. The Hawks could end up in Indiana or something along. Well, I guess
it's weird. You know, I think you could kind of relate with the people of Katrina, because in a way, Oklahoma probably never gets a team if New Orleans doesn't have to play part of their season there.
Yeah.
It's a weird chain of events that lists. So maybe you can stand in solidarity with the victims of Katrina. It's like, I lost just as much as you who lost your house and your children.
If not more.
Yeah.
In some ways. It is funny.
Some of those houses are pretty shitty. So let's...
They're terrible houses, and those people, now, see, when you have to start from scratch, you have to start over completely, I mean, there is a certain cleansing that goes on in one's mind and heart, and really, you can start anew. Whereas I, you know, nothing changed other than the basketball team left, and so it forces such conflict that you don't know what to do with yourself at all. I will never recover completely, but, you know, you move on with your life, and... it's a good thing to keep in mind as an Atlanta fan right now, because you'll be back. That's the way I look at it.
It could be, you know, and if we're not, you know, we still have them.
Yeah.
But I'm of the belief, though, I kind of just want the Falcons to go back to sucking. That's a lot easier, Wes. Your life's a lot easier when your team goes 3-13 every year.
You know what? I was thinking about it. The Super Bowl and all that went into it. all the stress that you endured and all the stress that even I endured is, you know, just watching two teams with so much on the line.
As your city endures, you know, as people just bash Atlanta for like no reason because they just have nothing else to talk about on TV.
Exactly. There's so much energy, positive and negative. You're all excited for what you have going, but it takes a lot of energy. And then when you look all around, you hear this trash being talked from the highest of levels about your city. And it made me kind of think to like, man, you know what? I wouldn't mind just like a week six in the NFL right now. A bunch of shit games with nothing on the line. You can just sit back and take it all in. You get yourself something to drink. And watch this. That's what it's all about. That's what I came up with.
And Wes, when your team sucks, you get to pretend like you know all about the draft. You know, like, you know, when the Falcons are bad, I'm mock drafting. I'm, you know, looking things up. Now I don't care. We're going to get, you know, some lineman from Tulane or something. Who knows? Who cares? So when your team's picking top 10, it's like, well, you know, we could get the next, you know, Lawrence Taylor. This kid.
Yeah.
This linebacker out of Illinois. Yeah.
That makes your Saturdays even better because not only are you watching for obvious reasons, but you're also you're scouting your potential next franchise changing player. So you make a solid point there.
This is what I love most when my Hawks are bad because it was always well. Let's see what dumb player we pick. Whether it's Josh Childress, who's so bad? Trading, you know, the rights to Paul Gasol for Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Chris Crawford. Oh, yeah. You know, Dan Dickow, 1 year, I think, went in the first round to us. It was, no fun.
Yeah, that's another thing we share is our NBA team and their ability to draft the worst of the worst.
You had Robert Swift. We both at one point had Rick Sund as our GM.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
That's
indeed.
How we got like Salim Stoudemire in the first round.
Yep. Yeah, that's how we used to draft foreign players that I'd never even come close to heard about. We're not even talking about those foreign players that everybody is aware of going into the draft. We're talking about a guy who David Stern would butcher their name 10 times out of 10.
And it's the broomstick guys, I like to call them. Yeah, exactly. Guys who are doing drills around a broomstick, and that's their highlight tape.
And they kind of look like broomsticks.
And recorded on like film for some 1970s camera.
Yeah, at best we're watching highlight footage from a real player on from about 98. This thing's constantly buffering, so we can't show you the rest of the clip. But you'll have to take our word for it. The kid is a raw prospect.
Because that's it's kind of when the Braves have been bad recently. It's been kind of fun to go back to just kind of sucking and not hating the playoffs. Because I don't like the playoffs, Wes. I'll be honest. That's another thing. As a fan, I hate them. There's no fun.
Are we talking just baseball playoffs?
Any playoffs. It's just... NBA playoffs is different because I always know the Hawks aren't good enough to really win the title. It's just, let's see what happens. There's really nothing more fun than having your team in the NBA playoffs, actually. But with other sports, it's too nerve-wracking.
Too much stress.
Yeah, and I think even 2 years ago when the Hawks were in the playoffs, I really hated it. Because, we were the number one seed and all that, all that jive. But last season was, we finally beat Boston in a playoff series last year. That was fun. You can't really beat that to me as a fan.
No, you can't. But if it's not going to be that, then I think, again, this goes back to my new experience now where playoffs come around and I just sit back and watch. There's nothing on the line at all. And it is a bad thing. I miss what I had. But at the same time, there's something to be said for just, hell, roll the ball out there. We'll see who's good. And no matter who wins, I'm not going to be, and who loses for that matter, I'm not too worried.
I kind of feel like Texans fans feel this way. It's like they make the playoffs every year. They know they're not going to win, but you never know. You'll see too many Texans fans that are crushed by their team losing in the wild card round every year.
They seem to be playing with house money.
But
to a certain extent. That's another good point. On a side note, I've never seen that stadium look so alive before as we saw it here or in one of those bowl games. It certainly doesn't feel that way for a Texans game. But you got a good point. Those Houston fans, it's just like, it's a house money deal. Got some talent. Go in and win. Great. If not, well, let's move on to something else.
Yeah, because, if the weather's awesome. And that's kind of the thing here, Wes, because end of the day, spring's about to be here in Atlanta. And to me, this is one of the best cities in the country in the spring. So take it, Boston. Have fun with 40 degrees in March.
I'll
have fun, at the pool with tons of babes getting laid constantly while you're jerking off to Tom Brady. So how about that?
That's right. Just a never-ending stream of ladies of the finest varieties in Atlanta. Yeah. You've got everything to look forward to. Just
rainbow. February. Rainbows of women. Purple. God. Red. Blue.
What?
You name it. No one. Every color but white.
That's exactly right. White is not right in this particular case.
No, you've got to go a little bit further south or near the mountains to find that.
Yeah.
Boy, man. Wes, as we wrap up the NFL roundup season, any final thoughts on this NFL season? I think a lot of fans just kind of want it to be over and not think about it.
Yeah, and I'm in that camp. I mean, the season had its ups and downs, which we detailed extensively throughout the year, and we noted that it was probably worked like all of sports are. And that's becoming pretty clear. That's the only other thing I was going to say to you. I know you're not the beneficiary of this. Neither am I. I think sports are fake, and the NFL put that on display loud and clear this year. I'm done with it as well. I'm not quite as emotionally attached as you are in this situation, but NFL can go away, and it can stay away for all I care. I'll be fine.
Yeah, you know what? Kind of sick of the NFL.
Yeah. Takeaway.
You know what? I kind of want you to sink. Because all of your owners, like, kind of suck. You're not very good people. You don't do anything about your players who beat women, but you get mad when they smoke weed to relieve their pain. Like, that's the big issue. It's just, fuck you.
Yeah,
and football's dangerous. Hey, if you got kids, make them play basketball or something. Football's stupid.
Exactly right. Put them in a sport where, you know, the contact is less. They have more fun. Might be some good money opportunities and some smaller.
And you can always play basketball. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can always go back and play.
And you can always just pick up a ball, go find a local hoop, and play. Whereas football takes some organizing. I mean, go out and try and throw the ball to yourself. It just doesn't work out that way.
Yeah. And you know what? Before we get out, it's also like the Baylor thing. It's just like football in general is just, I don't know. Just feeling kind of seedy lately. Maybe it's always been, but now it just, I don't know. Like, that Sandusky, this bullshit at Baylor. I mean, NCAA football is just, horrible indentured servitude system. It's just eh.
Yeah, man. As time goes on, at both levels, the corruption increases. We become more aware of it, as you're kind of alluding to. And I think football's kind of been the bully on the block. And I don't know about you. I'm about ready to stand up to this bully and say enough of me giving you hell 2 days of a weekend during the seasons.
Fall's a beautiful season, Wes. We're cramped up.
It is.
You know, I don't want to go apple picking, but I might just want to sit outside and, like, listen to a football game or something. So.
I think that's a good point. You don't have to walk away from football, but let's not give it all the love that it doesn't deserve. Maybe take your portable device out and go for a walk, listen to a game here and there, maybe then just turn the goddamn thing off. Enjoy the weather. Yeah. Enjoy the rainbow women, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean,
or men, whatever you're into.
Well, No, exactly.
Whatever. Or, you know, if you're into lamps, go fuck a lamp. Just make sure it's not plugged in. You know, whatever.
Yeah. We don't want anybody
But I think
hurt.
That's the important, you know, as a with fandom, it's just not that important. It's fun. It helps unite people. End of the day, especially with our current political climate, there are just more important things, you know?
There are. Yeah. There are. And we can't control these things, sports. Take them for what they are. They're entertainment, just like any television show or what have you. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I'm extending my virtual hand because despite all this, we did a hell of a job on the NFL roundup this year. Of course, you steer the ship. I'm just along for the ride. But it was a success.
Yeah.
And we can say that.
We didn't get sued, so kind of, you know, we kind of wanted to get sued, so that's kind of disappointing. But there's always next year.
There is, and we only got this thing rolling just barely. We barely cracked open the can of worms when it comes to the likes of Aaron Rodgers, for example. I mean, there's plenty more to come.
You know, we didn't even jump into the Tom Brady stuff.
No. Well, you know what, man? Tom Brady doesn't want that because he's been chased by those paper tigers.
Oh, so far, funny how his mom got sick as soon as everybody started giving him shit about being friends with the racist scumbag.
Yeah.
That's our president.
It's always funny.
Funny. Mm-hmm. It's like, we'll stay woke.
Yeah. Seems to work out that way, whether it's him or Aaron Rodgers or whatever. Oh, God,
well,
there's an ailment.
Can't make fun of me.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do whatever we damn well please. That's what this podcast is all about.
Yeah, but as we get out of here, I think the final message for me, Wes, and I think you'll agree, fuck you, Roger Goodell. Just fuck off.
And fuck all the other owners. Down. Yeah. Except them all. Except Mark Davis. I don't mind you. You're cool.
Yeah, he's all right. Yeah, he's man. I did feel bad for your man Arthur Blank there, just kind of for a second or two as he stood there.
Well, then you remember like he's gonna go home and like eat some children's souls and live another 20 years. So
yeah, exactly. It was a fleeting feeling that I had. I took a look over at his latest wife and I figured, well, his bank account's all right.
Well, I looked at Home Depot stock and you're like, well, and you know what? Atlanta's got a real football team coming soon. Atlanta United FC.
No.
Go to the pitch, mate. Well, yeah. So
we'll get out on the pitch with our scarves and shit, and we'll bring all of our goddamn fedoras and you know, hey man, we've got the MLS champions up here, so we want to turn this thing into a soccer podcast.
There we go. The MLS roundup, the Pele kick, or some, yeah. So there we go. It's our final thoughts, though. So what's your final kind of last thought?
It's a great day to be alive. That's what I would say, and. No sport can bring you down. The Atlanta Falcons, I give a hand to the Atlanta Falcons this year because they were an entertaining team. And at the end of the day, one game is one game. They gave us a season full of worth. So credit to your team, my friend.
Thank you. All right. But I think it's going to be back to me and Dan. All right. So that was a pretty fun experience right there. Reliving the Super Bowl again for me. That was a lot of fun.
How about that guy?
But a fun discussion with Wes, though. I think, you know, we got into, like, how he felt about the Sonics. And, you know, he's nearly, over a decade removed. So it's kind of good to get his perspective on everything. With probably a little less emotion attached to it. But not fun when your team leaves town. And it never especially is. Not fun when your team almost wins the Super Bowl and blows it in 5 minutes. But, Dan, we also have part two of our interview with Brad. You want to kind of... We kind of mentioned what we're going to talk about. Do you want to kind of intro this for us, though?
Yeah, we wanted to talk a little bit more in the second part of our conversation, because if you missed last week, we talked about the Royal Rumble and relived some old Fire Pro podcast glories. But what we spent a lot of time talking about in the second part of the interview was what does it mean to be a fan? Like, why do we end up being fans? What attracts us to certain teams? Because Brad's got a very unique history. He's from Nova Scotia. They're a full hour time zone ahead of us because they're in the Atlantic time zone. There's limited on what teams they can even follow. It's unusual about what teams have TV deals there for them to even see. And he's ended up, he is our podcast, as far as friends of the podcast, he is the second Columbus Blue Jackets fan in our universe.
But he's not even...
He just has a lot of interesting things that we go... Yeah. We talk about a lot of, like, really interesting things.
He's not even a hockey fan. Really.
Well, he likes the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Well, I think kind of. Like, I don't think he follows them religiously. Like, he's not like your typical Canadian.
Well, apparently nobody in Nova Scotia is.
Well, there you go. But,
because they're so isolated. So, yeah, it's a fun conversation talking about what it means to be a fan, and it's really timely... Especially with the Super Bowl and some of the comments my good friend has made in the last segment on the NFL Roundup, I think it fits together nicely. So let's kick it to Brad. Yeah, I mean that's a segue there. See, that's what you were always the best at.
I'm the master. I can't believe
I've never been great at these segues, but
I'm back.
The segue there is the reason why we can pull this full circle to a sports discussion is that wrestling fans, in my opinion, at least modern wrestling fans, have a lot more in common with sports fans than I think sports fans would care to realize, because holy, there's this whole subculture of wrestling fans that watch wrestling every week and then hate it. They despise it. They're like, this is the worst thing in the world. I feel so embarrassed to even watch this crap. Like, everybody should just kill themselves. I feel emasculated. My genitals have been removed from my body from this show. And then you have like Cleveland Browns fans who won't shut up about how miserable it is to be a Cleveland Brown fan, as if we're all supposed to give them kudos for sitting through something that makes them miserable. Like, oh yeah. Man, you're a real sports fan. You can suffer through something that's abysmal and awful. You don't necessarily have that in your background, Brad. Why is that?
Well, I mean, I can't because I'm Canadian and not like central Toronto Canadian. As much as it, I don't want to surprise anyone here, but there are other parts of Canada and I'm part of one.
I mean, yeah, there's Winnipeg and Vancouver. Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. But imagine.
Oh, in Montreal. Like everybody in Canada is either in Toronto, Montreal, or Vancouver.
According to the announcers in any game that I've done, that's true. But in a real life, imagine a world where there are no sports teams, really. Imagine a world where it's 10:35 right now. And we have
like dystopia.
Yeah. Welcome. I'm in the future. Want to know what it's like? Trump's still president. Okay.
Fiddlesticks.
Yep. So I'll tell you how it looks in another hour. We'll see how 11:30 goes. But so yeah, I'm in Nova Scotia. So we only have, and I'm in Halifax. So where do this is? I'm not. I don't live in the sticks or like the boonies or I don't know what words people use for the countryside or whatever. Like I'm in like the fourth.
Podunk.
Yeah, I'm in like the one of the biggest cities in the country. We don't really have a hockey team. We have a single hockey team, the Halifax Mooseheads. They are in the QMJHL, which is the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. That's the thing.
Wait, the Quebec Junior Hockey League?
Yep, Major Junior Hockey League.
But you're not in. You're not in Quebec.
Oh yes, yes, I understand completely.
Okay.
So that like basically all your hockey players come from us or around us. It's like Quebec and here and around here. I lived on the same street as Sidney Crosby, next door neighbors with him. Not that that's important, right? I'm not trying to brag. I'm just giving you an idea where I am.
Sure.
We have a basketball team, the Halifax Hurricanes, who have been around for a single year. One. They are not part of the NBA, of course. They are part of the...
What if they were?
They would not do very well. But they were part of the National Basketball League of Canada, the NBL.
Sure.
And they are part of the Atlantic Division.
There you go.
But they did win the championship last year, in their first year as a team, which
I
don't know...
That doesn't say a lot for the rest of the league.
I don't mean to be negative.
Yeah.
I understand, and I don't think I've ever seen one. We had the Halifax Rain Men before that, and they sucked. And I don't know what the Halifax Hurricanes do, because I've never seen them play, even for a second.
They may not be real, is what you're saying.
Yep. They
could be part of a citywide gaslight project.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you guys know the CFL exists.
I watch it every year. I'm a huge fan.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know how many of your listeners are, but they exist. The CFL definitely exists. And no, we do not have a CFL team. We were going to build one. We were going to build a stadium / soccer field. But they decided that that was a waste of money and wouldn't get enough people in. So instead, they decided to build a Canada Games swimming pool. Instead, it has a subway in it.
That sounds like a good use of money.
Yeah. And we have a swimming pool and a basketball and a hockey team that won championships last year, but in unimportant places.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's kind of the starting part. So I don't have a team. So people just adopt teams where I'm from.
And what teams did you end up with? Because this is the real kicker for me. This is the thing that always makes me laugh whenever I talk to you about sports. Where it's like,
what are
the teams that Bradley Brains, the man with all the brains,
okay.
what teams did he end up with?
Yeah, well, I guess we can just go through the entire list. I watch a lot of sports in weird ways. But I guess for basketball, he was the Lakers since like 92. For football, it was the Indianapolis Colts. For hockey, it was the Columbus Blue Jackets for a while.
You realize that this is the that this podcast has been guested by the only two Columbus Blue Jacket fans
in existence
in the world. It's you and Rob the Nerd at Rob the Nerd. You are the only two. But the difference between the two of you is that he actually lives in Columbus. So it's like, well, like that's their only pro sports team. It's that but Ohio State.
Yep. So LA Lakers for basketball.
You had a choice.
Yep. The Oklahoma Sooners for football.
That's often. The big one to me.
and college basketball, I don't really have one. I just don't like Syracuse very much. And I do follow Sooners basketball as well. I guess. So I guess Sooners basketball. I mean, that's...
You were big into Blake Griffin.
I guess. I do. And I watch the Clippers. I still watch the Clippers. It's like Clippers and stuff like that. And I also watch tennis, and I've seen golf. But yeah,
this is an eclectic mix. Like, I was really hoping bowling would be in there, because we have talked about bowling on another episode of the Power Hour.
Can't do bowling, can't do golf. No, can't do bowling, can't do darts. Or anything like that. It's too much for me.
It's just too much. I have a limit. Going down.
Too much.
That's just too weird.
No NASCAR.
You wouldn't
either.
Be able to go out in public.
No NASCAR either. Can't do that. Dad was a fan.
Oh, that's a big mistake. That's a big mistake. You should try. You should get into NASCAR this year. Give it a go. Come on, it's the South's best export. Like sweet tea and NASCAR. That's
I only know about Hermie Sadler, and he is not in NASCAR. He was a NASCAR truck driver. And that was
he was a Winston Cup driver. That's how long I've been out of watching NASCAR is that I just called it Winston Cup. But he was what are they now? Sprint Cup? He used to be a Sprint
Why
Cup.
Why are you
driver.
Asking me?
Well, like you've got your ear to the ground. Like you have knowledge of things.
It's the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
No.
That's how you know. Yeah.
No!
That's how you know it is the future. The X Games and NASCAR are in the same thing. And that was skateboarding, by the way. Professional skateboarding.
Man, NASCAR was so much better off when they were sponsored by Cancer Sticks. Like, ever since they lost that RJ Reynolds sponsorship, it's been downhill.
Yeah, they were Monster Energy this year. It'll be the first Monster Energy NASCAR title.
That's deeply embarrassing to me. They were Winston Cup for like 50 years. And now they're the sponsored by the drink of choice of 13-year-olds who scream obscenities at you while you're trying to play Madden.
Hey. I had a Monster Energy today. So I'm like
I wouldn't have admitted that. That was a mistake on your part.
I didn't want Starbucks.
But so, my favorite thing there is that you ended up an Oklahoma Sooners fan.
Yeah.
Which, I cannot think of a place more culturally distinct from Nova Scotia than Oklahoma. I've been through Oklahoma many points in my life, and it is the most unpleasant place to drive in these United States. I will say that.
I would say there's a story for every single one of my team choices. Most of the reasoning, I'm not going to say is good, but it's a thing, and it's there. And that's kind of the important part. Oklahoma is there's not really a good story for that. Like, that's the one where there isn't really a good story for it. I decided I wanted to watch college football. I looked at the teams that were there. I made judgments based on things I knew and named times I've heard them, and then also how good they were. And I always had the rule of I didn't want to just – if I'm going to go into a sport and I want to start watching it, I don't want to go in just choosing the best team because that's what jerks do. They go in, they choose the best team, and they're just like, yeah, we won in the year that I chose them as the best team. I don't like bandwagoning. It bugs me. It sickens me.
Dramatic.
But I'm not a big bandwagoner fan. I don't like to do that just because, and when it's not as fun. Like, I don't, you know, it's fun to win, but it's nice to have it's being more dramatic, whatever. I don't know. So that's why I chose that. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to follow the Sooners. I decided on that. I don't know really much about Oklahoma itself. Jim Ross is from there. That's about it.
By God.
Yeah.
Bowling shoe ugly.
Yep. And yeah, I mean, for basketball, it's the same thing.
Yeah, well, the Lakers. I mean, that's the one that, like, where I went, all right, well, that makes sense. They're on TV all the time.
Yep, and I was a kid.
They're the Lakers. Like, you're going to be able to see them.
Yep, and I like Kobe a lot, except for, like, the rape.
Jesus! I like... That's the problem with being a sports fan in modern times, is that we know things nowadays that, like, would never have come out 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I mean... Like, maybe Johnny Unitas, like, I don't know, kicked a baby. Like, just punted a baby across the room. But you have no idea, because nobody talked about anything like that. But in 2016, like, if you do something, like, really fucked up, it'll get out there. And so, like, we have to, like, now, like, well, I mean, Kobe Bryant, yeah, he is one of the best basketball players of all time. But, yeah, that thing did happen that was really fucked up. Man, I don't know what to think about any of that. This is not great. And, like, Greg Hardy, like, I'm a Cowboys fan, and I basically stopped watching the team because it's like, yeah, we're going to sign a guy who just, like, pummels women to death, like, for fun. Like, we're going to sign football's version of War Machine. Like, this is good. Oh, this is fun.
Yeah, and it's really hard, and it's not that I try not to think about it, but, like, I mean, I followed the Ravens for a little bit, too. And it's just like...
Yeah, that guy killed a guy.
I mean, Ray Lewis murdered a man, and they basically shut it off because he's like, well, I mean, he knows how to push people around. Like, that's... What are we going to do? Like, he's a football man.
I mean, come on. If you didn't want to be murdered, why would you spend any time talking to a football player?
Though...
Like, come on, he had it coming.
Though, I mean, lately I'm more... I don't know. I'll get turned off by certain things, but it's one of those things where it's just like, all right, I'm not going to, like, support that person anymore. Doesn't mean I'm not, like, stop it entirely, because I'm like, but I'm not going to support that person anymore.
Sure. But, like, I think the interesting thing about your journey through sports fandom is that, to me, you have ended up in the same position that American fan, like, if you're an American fan and you either grew up in a city that didn't have a team, mm-hmm. or you grew up in a city that had a team that moved, you end up in the same position as you. Like, because, you know, I grew up, I was a Charlotte Hornets fan. It was my favorite team, Charlotte Hornets. Teal and purple, baby. Everything was teal and purple. And then they moved to New Orleans. And I think that's a big reason why I've ended up like this sports agnostic, where it's like, I end up rooting for certain players. I end up rooting for, like, when a team is exciting or a team is, like, particularly interesting to me, I cheer for that team until that team stops being interesting.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, I'll move on. And it's less a bandwagon thing where it's like, oh man, I always got to cheer for who's winning so much as, well, this team is fun. I enjoy watching this team. And when it stops being fun, I just move on to the next thing that is fun to watch.
Yeah. And I'm kind of like that way too. Like, it's more just, I think the only big difference between what you said and kind of us is that when a team moves, usually you can kind of go like, okay, well, if the next state over, that is a team. Like, yeah, if the Jets left, then people would just become Giants fans or whatever. Or how many teams are in LA now? A million? I don't know.
Every team in the NFL. Suddenly having like 4.5.
I don't know. There's like 7.
The Chargers are going to play in a soccer stadium this year that seats like 12 people, which is one of the most confusing and hilarious things in the NFL.
There's like 999 NFL teams in LA. Whatever. And I don't follow them. I mean, like for us, for me, like, there is a little bit where, like, where we grew up, the American channels we got were Boston channels. So we would get Bruins games and we would get the Patriots. Now, I can never love the Patriots, because they are the Patriots.
Sure.
I think I've talked about it, and I think I've talked to a few people, and I think it's been submitted recently, that the New England Patriots are the most hated team in sports. and I firmly believe this. But I mean, like, yeah, they're the ultimate.
Especially because the Yankees have been shitty for a while.
The Yankees, like,
suck. The Yankees could easily take that crown back, but when they're bad, like, it's easy to pass them.
And I think it was the Heat was close. It was the Yankees for almost ever, and then I think the Heat took them over for, like, maybe a year. And that's when they kind of started, sure. Yankees kind of started to suck, so it didn't matter. But after Deflategate, I think that was it. Everyone hates it. But my hate's been more than that, because once again, I don't really like the bandwagon and the Patriots. And when I was getting, because I haven't been a lifelong football fan. I'm not. Like, I was an early sports guy when I was a kid. Outside of basketball. I watched basketball forever. I played basketball until I had to be told that I sucked before high school. And we're not paying to put you in a game that you suck at and that you don't really care about. And that was the second part. My parents were like, you don't actually care about this. And I'm just like, you're right. And that was it.
It's a fair cop.
Yeah, I didn't like football a lot because it interrupted Futurama. And sure. It got it canceled.
Sure, that's a reason most people. Hey, yep. This is interrupting Futurama. I can't watch my favorite spinoff of The Simpsons.
Yeah. You set the expectation. My reasonings are weird. They are. But when I decided, like, I was like in like 2003, 2004, or whatever, and it's like, all right, I want to start playing football or whatever. See what's going on. And, like, everyone's just like, yeah, Patriots. And it was just like, it seemed like most people are Patriots fans because they won. And they win all the time, and they go to the Super Bowl every single year. And it's just like, well, that's not fun. I don't want to just be the jerky guy that's just, like, likes that team because they win. I want to do something more interesting. So I chose the Colts. And yeah, that's not like a, it's like not too much different, right? I mean, you know, Peyton Manning's Peyton Manning. Let's be real here. But I, you know, I thought it was fun. They showed Colts games enough for me to be able to follow it. It was like, all right, Colts and Ravens. Those are the ones, because Ravens is a weird team name. They have a bird for a logo. I'm like, all right.
You know why, right? Like, you know why they're the Ravens, don't you? It's where Edgar Allan Poe's from.
Hmm?
You know, Baltimore is where Edgar Allan Poe's from.
Yes, I'm not saying that it's, I don't understand it. It's a kind of a weird thing, like, to name your team the Ravens. Kind of odd. It's an odd thing. The logo is unique for sports a little bit. Not that birds are unique.
They probably should have called them the Crows, because then they could all be a murders.
Yeah.
They're murder crows.
But then someone could just say that they murdered them, and that might not be good, so.
Sure. Especially given subsequent events.
Yeah. So you guys are a murder! Right, Ray Lewis?
Yeah, I knew it! It's right there in plain sight. This turns into an Alex Jones putting the pieces together. Building 7, birds. They're right there, it's right under your noses.
Yeah. And I mean, part of it too was that the Colts were rivals of the New England Patriots. Sure. And, you know, thy enemy is of thy enemy is my friend.
Sure.
As they say.
But see, I think in general, if we could just get all sports fans to be like you, we'd be much better off. Because who, like, there's a really toxic sports fan culture of I live and die with my team. I eat, sweat, and breathe with my team. I fight for them. Like, and it's like, well, A, you're not really on the team. B, the team doesn't really care if you live or die. So
no,
This is like investing a lot of emotional energy into a fucking a blow up doll. Like, I'm gonna marry a blow up doll. The blow up doll doesn't care the blow up doll doesn't care about you. It's not even real. Like when you put
it's like being hardcore invested into like Monster Energy.
Sure.
Like if you're a
nobody involved in that gives a damn. Like nobody involved in that gives a damn if you live or die. So like, why are you investing this much energy into something like that? The better thing is to just hop around to what gives you joy. Find what gives you pleasure and stick with it. Just because you're from Cleveland doesn't mean you should give a shit about the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, they don't necessarily care about you. They moved once. They could do it again. This has happened once already. So Why worry? Find what's entertaining. And if something is not giving you any joy, don't be a wrestling fan watching Raw. Like, stop. Like, it's not fun. Find something else to do. Watch some bowling.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel. But, I mean, the Lakers suck. And it was just like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to not really watch the Lakers as much anymore. So I just kind of watched the Clippers. I just kind of moved on a little bit.
I mean, it's like somebody going, oh, my God, my team is so makes me so miserable when I watch them. They lose every game by 40. Well, why are you watching them? Do you have literally nothing else to do in life? Like, and it's like, well, I love the NBA. And it's like, well, you don't have to watch that. Like, there's other NBA teams. Like, you could watch whatever you want. But, that's I feel like that's a feeling that just won't catch on in sports culture. Because
I mean, that's how they get money. They got money by that.
Like, there's so many people who have have a vested interest in creating a sports culture that encourages fans to watch no matter what. Just shut up and eat this. Shut up and eat this gruel. You know you love it, but. Anyway, but I think, Brad, as it's getting close to time to wrap it up,
mm-hmm.
if there's any one thing you could say out there to somebody who's stuck in a bad fan relationship, this is now starting to sound like a Love and Hip Hop discussion or whatever. That was your show, right? Love and Hip Hop?
I've never seen a second of it. So anyone who also is on the board, surprise, motherfucker.
Shocking. But like, if this feels like relationship advice that you're going to be getting out. But if, for anybody who's stuck in a bad fan relationship with a team that is not fulfilling their desires, what advice would you have to them?
All right, can you take a seat, please? Just sit down for a second. Okay. How you doing? Good. How are the kids? So I know that if your team just it sucks right now, man, and that's. Have you ever decided maybe to just hang out with those kids? But I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, it just, I don't understand. And if you have fun, hate watching, whatever, but if that team causes you depression, then just do something else. Like, the fun thing with me is I kind of watch every sport except for hockey, really, I'll be honest. Bad Canadian, I know. But like, when things aren't doing well, I just kind of follow the player that's doing something interesting, or I'll go to another team. Like, I usually have like a secondary team where it's like, all right, the Lakers are doing bad. I'll follow the Clippers. It's, you know, whatever. And a lot of my stuff, like a lot of the LA teams, the big reason is just they're in the West and I work late. So I can watch things when they're late. But I mean, the years when the Dodgers sucked, I just didn't watch much Dodgers games. And then I did something else and I did something fun. Play a video game, play real catch, play real basketball. You could do that. And just kind of.
That sounds suspicious.
I know. But I think the big thing is it's just that weird thing where it's just like the team doesn't give a shit about you and you're just buying a product. So treat it like any other product. Like it's just like a TV show. If a TV show stops being good, you stop watching it. And if you hear that it gets better, maybe you come back into it. But that's it. Like I don't know. I've never had really team loyalty.
Look, that's the nature of a modern capitalist society.
Mm-hmm.
Like, show no loyalty to anything and just move your consumer dollars
mm-hmm.
to whatever is giving you something at that moment in time. Because nobody else is going to, like, no one's going to reward your loyalty. So have none. Which is a depressing thing to end our discussion on, Brad. But I do want to thank you for coming on the Power Hour. I'd love to have you back on. I hope it doesn't take me 8 months to remember to call you and we'll go, see. Hey, Brad, you want to be on the podcast?
You talk to Connie and you let him know, and then he'll talk to me. Tell your people to call my people.
That's exactly why I did the show with Tunney, because it's like, oh, he knows what he's doing. He's got his shit mm-hmm. together. He'll know how to get shit done. Because, I mean, you can vouch for this. We did a wrestling podcast together for a year. How many times did I ever know what I was doing before the show started?
I mean, did any of us really? Let's be real here.
If we're going to dish, Brian knew what he was doing. And the rest all of right. us were just like.
The tell-all story of 30 seconds. Our 30-second tell-all.
Yep. That's the 30s I can tell. I was that Brian was really professional and always was ready, like trying to get shit together to have an organized show and know what was going on. And then you would let us know 30 seconds before the show whether you could be there. And then I would do no research and just bullshit.
We would call it Brian talks to two idiots. But now there's only two idiots, and this is how it turned out.
This is the two idiots out. This is the two idiots. That's what we'll call this segment going forward. Because you'll be back on. And when we kick to it, it's just going to be the two idiots segment.
Yes.
Oh, but thank you again for being on the show.
Yeah.
God bless you. You're my favorite Canadian. Don't tell that to Steve Kahn.
That's what Ann Coulter said in the book that she sent me. That's a story for another time.
Oh, okay. That'll be an off-the-air discussion we're about to have. But thanks again.
It's real.
And,
she said it.
And as we do you want to throw it back to Tony or do you want me to do it? Because I feel weird hosting around you. It just feels unnatural.
Really? All right. Well, that's the end of the show. I'd like to thank my guest, Dan Ford. He's been always good. Oh, my God. It's just an amazing thing. All right. Zach, go ahead and bring it back, and we'll see you soon.
All right, we're back. That was a fun interview with Brad, Dan, I must say. And very informative. You know, a Sooners fan in Nova Scotia? Doesn't make any sense, but it does.
Boomer Sooner.
When Brad explains it. All right, we're going to, as we kind of close out, we do have some news this week. The Atlanta Falcons hired one Steve Sarkisian. You may know him from your local AA meeting. As a new offensive coordinator, we're not going to really talk about what that means. We're going to talk about what that means for Alabama.
Mm.
Sarkisian was the guy who replaced Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. And as multiple people have talked about, there is no way Nick Saban thought when he promoted Steve Sarkisian that was going to be a one-game-long hire.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really how Nick Saban does things, but that's the way it turned out.
Have we ever seen Saban kind of scramble, like he's going to have to now to get a coordinator? Like, Saban seems like the type of guy who's going to plan things and kind of have some things in place, but this kind of seems to throw a wrench into Saban's plan. I'm not sure we've ever seen that with him at Alabama.
Yeah, when he fired Doug Nussmeier, he hired Lane Kiffin in the offseason to get him ready so that Lane Kiffin could spend the entire year as a non-coaching analyst to see how Alabama worked. And then he could promote him up there as soon as, you know, because he kind of made up his mind he was sick of Nussmeier. And then it was sort of it was portrayed as a mutual go your own way because Nussmeier went to Michigan to be Brady Hoke's last offensive coordinator. But, I mean, the subtext everybody was saying was like, he didn't really want to, that was more of a, Saban was ready to say goodbye and wanted Lane Kiffin. And they did sort of the same thing with Sark. You know, going into the year, it looked like this was probably going to be Lane Kiffin's last year with Nick Saban.
Yeah, whether he was going to be a head coach, there's also rumors of him maybe going to be OC at LSU or maybe sniffing an NFL job.
It just seemed like there's
agents saying that, but there were rumors that he would leave.
It just seemed like their relationship had reached the point where it's like, all right, one more year of this.
Yeah.
That's all. And so that he hired Sarkisian as an analyst to replace Lane Kiffin, and then for Sarkisian to immediately leave and go take the Atlanta Falcons offensive coordinator
job.
Which
is, to be fair, pretty
good. A better
job. It's not like he left Alabama for a job that wasn't as good. He left for the NFL.
It's kind of shocking he got the job, but he did.
Yeah.
I don't think Nick Saban saw that coming, and it now puts Saban in a very difficult position because who is there to hire? Like, one of the things that I think gets glossed over when people talk about, oh, Nick Saban modernized his offense. Nick Saban, you know, finally moved into the modern era with his offense is that we kind of didn't have a choice. There aren't any coaches to go hire an assistant coach who runs a pro-style offense to just, well, let's go find another pro-style guy. Nobody's running pro style. There is nobody to go hire.
Yeah, and
you kind of have to change his offense
as much as he delegated that responsibility to someone else who knew a little bit more about the modern offensive style. That was one of those moments when I kind of realized Saban's an all time great coach because not a lot of coaches are willing to recognize that maybe they don't understand things as well. So, but what happens now here? Does Saban have to take more control of the offense, or are they going to go find somebody?
Well, I assume they'll go find somebody.
What have the birds have been saying, Dan? What are some rumors floating around?
Well, I mean, the crazy one was Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
Which I don't. I mean,
the I reason don't see those personalities.
There is a coaching link. You know, Alabama recently hired a guy who used to work for Chip Kelly. So that there is some smoke to it, but I mean, Chip Kelly is not going to have Nick Saban yelling at him. Like, that will not happen once.
Yeah,
that happens once, Chip Kelly will punch him and leave, and that'll be the end of that relationship.
Yeah, I just don't. Yeah, I don't see, like, they're just two alpha males that don't really, you know, I don't think they go well together.
And Chip's not going to be around very long.
Yeah,
and that seems like a very big change for Alabama to go to the Kelly offense, for Kelly to leave after 1 year again. Like, that seems like a very drastic change for Alabama.
Yeah.
To have that be a 1 year thing, that just doesn't really add up to me. But the one that makes more sense to me, if that's the direction he wants to go, is go hire Helfrich, the fired Oregon coach who has recently worked with Chip Kelly, to come and install that offense. That makes sense to me. If that's the direction Nick Saban wants to go, that's who I'd hire. Also, Helfrich has more pro-style experience, so he could maybe hybrid it a little bit to make Nick Saban a little bit more comfortable with it.
Kind of similar to what they were doing already, but maybe like the next evolution, if you will.
Yeah.
The third stage of maybe the Kiffin's baby offense there in Alabama.
But it's going to be very interesting to see who they get. And what ripple effect that causes.
Does he promote from within, though? Is there like a quarterback's coach that you think is ready to take on that responsibility at Alabama? Or...
I mean, I feel like the guy they had ready from within was Sark. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they have another guy ready.
Just kind of wait for Jim McElwain to get fired at Florida?
Ooh, well, that's caused some controversy, because there's some Florida people there's some McElwain defenders who are screaming, he finished 10th in recruiting this year. What are you guys complaining about? But Florida's recruiting class, look, not all top 10 recruiting classes are equal.
Yeah.
This was like a classic Houston Nutt style recruiting class, because Florida's recruiting class before signing day was like 30th, and then they closed at 10, but the way they had to get to 10, they had to basically take guys who may not end up being academically eligible, who may end up getting kicked out of school after like a semester because they're not going to go to class. He had to take basically all the guys who had the red flags.
Yeah.
Because his recruiting class was the shits. And if he'd have finished with like a 25th, which is where they were trending, he would be on the hot seat. So this is kind of a mirage class, in my opinion. I don't think this is going to end up being a 10th ranked class.
No.
Because I think attrition is going to ravage this class.
Even with this class, Dan, to me, this year with recruiting, it's all about offensive linemen. That's where the most, like, if you couldn't go get you a 4 or 5 star offensive lineman, you ain't going to win anything anytime soon this year.
Yeah.
That wasn't Florida's problem necessarily, was their offensive line. I think that's a team that drastically needs better skill position players. And they didn't really get a ton of those necessarily, or guys that might even make the team.
Yeah, Georgia and Florida State just ate their lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just that's the only way around it.
I mean, and Georgia picked up a 4-star quarterback from Georgia, mind you, that Florida could have definitely used. I believe broke Deshaun Watson's record for high school.
When you're able to go recruit like the best or second best quarterback in the state of Georgia when you already have Eason.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me, that's the most glaring indictment for Florida, is that they couldn't go get a quarterback when Florida State has a pretty sewed up quarterback situation right now. Yeah.
Georgia, most teams around Alabama does. Auburn kind of does with their transfer, and then we'll see what happens with Sean.
Well, Florida's looking for a different quarterback from Auburn, but like Georgia and Florida and maybe Alabama, they're in the market for sort of similar players. But Georgia already got a 5-star last year. Florida State's got like a sophomore kid who's going to be playing. Like, they're not able to offer playing. Like, Florida should be able to go, look, you're going to start, and that's not enough. Like,
you're not going to have to transfer in 2 years Eason turns out to not be that bad.
Like, whenever...
That's what they could have said, but they didn't.
Yeah.
It's worrying. If you're a Florida fan, I'm... Yeah, top 10 class looks nice on paper. I don't think it's really going
to amount. Whenever you go from like 30th to 10th, that like you're that guy that I it reminds me a lot actually now that I'm talking. It reminds me of Rich Rod's recruiting classes at Michigan.
Yeah.
Where he would go for all of these kids. Like Rich Rod had recruited his whole career in Florida and Atlanta and South Carolina. That had been like Rich Rodriguez's backbone when you know when yeah. he was at Tulane, when he was at Clemson, and when he was at West Virginia. When he went to Michigan, he tried to recruit those same areas, and he could not get those kids to come to Michigan. And he completely ignored all those Midwest markets that Michigan usually recruits well in because he just didn't know them.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would have these terrible recruits.
Michigan standards would be, are a little yeah. bit higher than West Virginia's was. So that was also right. the kind of thing with Rich Rod, where you could get a Noel Devine there because, like, he probably ain't getting in at Georgia.
Right, and yeah. he would get there, and he would have a very bad recruiting class, finish like 10th, but then half of that class wouldn't actually end up playing a down because they'd end up being ruled academically ineligible, or they'd fail out and have to transfer after a semester. Like, the Rich Rod classes at Michigan just had incredible, incredible attrition, and this class that McElwain has signed is going to be attrition heavy. A lot of those guys are never going to play it down, I predict. So sorry about it, Gator fans. Like, this, the misery will continue, seems like. But
so, but Dan, as we get ready to wrap things up, I think we're going to finally close the book on football until next week.
Yep. Because we still got to talk about all the other recruiting classes next week. So,
that's what I mean. But we've kind of...
We still got to talk about Baylor. Jesus.
On football games. We've kind of closed the book. And now it's all theoretical thinking.
Yeah.
And I think...
Off-season talk.
Yeah. I think next week, let's dive in. Let's stay where we know. Let's look at... We're going to kind of preview the ACC and the SEC's recruiting classes.
Oh,
let's see who won, who lost. Did Clemson do enough to reload? Or are they headed for some disappointment? And is Georgia back? Because that's what everyone in this state thinks. So
we'll Georgia.
See. Yeah. So they did get him a hoss, Dan. The kid is a hoss. The Brooklyn kid. But before we get out of here, Dan, any last thoughts on maybe the Super Bowl or the big game or anything that happened this week?
I enjoyed Lady Gaga. That's my big takeaway.
Yeah, I don't remember it, to be honest. I got a fuck you of the week, though, before we get out of here. James Dolan, Knicks organization. Fuck you. Charles Oakley wants to whoop someone's ass, you let him. Oakley.
Charles Oakley, not Barkley.
Charles
Barkley ain't whipping nobody's ass.
No. I mean, and Oakley's a pretty... I mean, this is a guy who got into a fight with Barkley in a preseason game. This is a very angry, irritable man. If he wants to fight you, just let him. He's earned it.
Don't arrest him, maybe.
Yeah, maybe just kick him out. And then don't tell him, like, you hope he gets help. In your PR release.
Yeah, that ain't good. Like, you can't get help for being a badass. There ain't no cure for it.
Ain't no cure. Only cure is whipping more ass, baby. But that's it for me, Dan. This is another interview-heavy show, but next week, if you like hearing two guys with Southern accents talk about college football, I got news for you. I don't know what that news is.
I don't know what it is, but I got two words for you. And that's play the music, Jason. That's more than two words.
That's three words.
It's four, actually, sir.
If you want to hear two guys who aren't good at math, tune in next week.